Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. How often do we ponder these words and take them to heart? How often do we turn to that word which we are given and pray, not just some simple utterance, but beg for the Spirit to reveal to us the things of God? Because such words require us to deny ourselves, to look beyond our own thoughts and reason, our own feelings and desires, and not just to push them aside, but to utterly despise and destroy them, to pour contempt on them, lest God pours out his contempt on us. For when we look at our own thoughts, our own reason, our own feelings, our own desires, we make ourselves the authority of all wisdom and knowledge, and thus take the place of God. And then we do not find him. This is the way we think according to the flesh, declaring that if something feels right, then it is right, that it is better for you to live for yourself than to submit to another, that life is about fulfilling dreams, pursuing passions, achieving goals, rather than living a good life, a holy life, in submission to God and one another. But this is the wisdom of man, and has nothing to do with the faith in Christ. No matter how religious or spiritual it sounds, no matter how reasonable it may be, no matter how hard it pulls at your heartstrings, even if you had all of Scripture memorized, this knowledge would do you no good unless it is held in submission to the Spirit, using it to seek the one whom the Scriptures are all about, Jesus Christ and him crucified. Some preach and teach that following our dreams and desires is the will of God and the reason for the Spirit's power. But Paul's mention of Jesus crucified being the matter of most importance puts that into perspective for us. We know that God did not send his only begotten Son to suffer on the cross so that our dreams could be fulfilled. That his beloved Son was not sent as the sacrificial lamb so that we could achieve our goals. We understand that God sent Jesus into the world to overcome sin and death in our place, so that all who believe in who he is and what he has done have eternal life. This salvation is freely given and revealed to us by the power of the Spirit. We know how salvation was accomplished for us, but how is salvation given to us? It was given in ways that are truly the natural mind does not accept. For it is folly to those who do not have the mind of Christ concerning them. First, salvation is given to us by the word itself. Jesus says in John 15, "Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you." And in John 17, he prays, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." Paul writes in Romans 10 that faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And in Ephesians 1, he writes, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it." Yet to the natural person, these are simply words of myth and fiction, invented by men ignorant of the natural truth. The world is obsessed with trying to disprove and destroy the Bible and mocks those who hold it to be the Word of God. Or they accept parts of the Bible as God's Word, but reject others, believing those parts to be corrupt, to be no longer relevant to our lives, or to simply be made up by man. Some Christians and whole denominations argue this way, along with Jews and Muslims, Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses and Christian Scientists. But those who deny themselves to seek the Spirit of truth begin to understand the things freely given to them by God. The Spirit also reveals to us through Scriptures that we receive Christ and His salvation through the sacraments. The Baptist declares in John's account that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit. Peter preaches in Pentecost at Acts 2, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And Paul preaches in Acts 22 that he himself was baptized to wash away his sins. Paul also writes in Romans 6 that in our baptism, we are united with Christ in his death and resurrection, our old sinful self being crucified with him and brought to nothing, so that we are raised to new life in him with the power to resist sin and to be free from it in life everlasting. He also writes in Ephesians 5 that Jesus sanctifies his church, having washed her by the water with the word. And Peter, in his first letter, says that baptism now saves us, not as the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yet the natural mind only sees water and hears words. It does not see Jesus. Reason cannot believe or accept that there is anything more to baptism than water or words, and at best they call it an act of obedience. But the Spirit reveals to us a spiritual truth, that Christ is present in, with, and under that very water through his word. For this reason, the Spirit gives those who have come to faith through the word the desire to be baptized, that through it they may be united with Christ and have new birth. There in the water, we receive life and salvation. The same goes for the supper. Christ himself declares that the bread in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and is affirmed according to Paul, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And of the wine, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?" In the next chapter, he says, "Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. And for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment to himself." Yet the natural mind only sees bread and wine and hears the words. It does not see Jesus. Reason cannot believe or accept that there is anything more to the Lord's Supper than bread and wine and empty words, or at best an act of obedience. But the Spirit reveals to us the spiritual truth, that Christ is present in, with, and under that bread and wine through his very word. For this reason, the Spirit gives us the desire to feast upon his flesh, our very life, knowing that by his body and blood our souls are nourished and strengthened. There in the bread and the wine, we receive such a treasure and gift by and in which we obtain the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. The natural mind cannot comprehend these spiritual truths of Christ in his word and sacrament, so it finds other explanations to either dismiss them or to give them new meaning altogether, as it can never find Christ within them. As long as we continue to live in this life, our natural mind too continues to resist and struggle against the Spirit and the things that are spiritual. For this reason, then, let us pray, and then learn to continually deny ourselves and beg to be taught by the Spirit, that our desire may continue to increase, and we learn ever more to truly cherish His word and sacraments freely given by God for our salvation. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.